Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran Hakim has stated, وَإِذَا فَعَلُوا فَإِذَا فَحِثَشَةً. Allah ta'ala states that look, when the human being commits a sin, an individual can do a wrong action, commit a sin, do a sinful action, then this is not a small thing. This is not a normal thing. There are two types of sin. One are the rights to Allah, one are the rights of society. Allah Ta'ala's rights, the human being, if he's not fulfilling the rights of Allah, what does that mean? That those things that Allah Ta'ala has instructed us to do, and if we're not implementing them, those things Allah Ta'ala has told us to leave, and we don't refrain from them, that these are the rights of Allah, Hakuq Allah. Whenever a person is in that situation, there is not a minor situation, it's not a small situation, it's a very dangerous situation. And a person at that time is the disobedient to Allah, and the disobedient to Allah, his situation is extremely dangerous. So Allah Ta'ala has given a little bit of a hint to us, وَظَلَّمُوا أَنفُسَهُمْ, that sin is not a small thing. Sin, the person who commits a sin is like he's destroyed, he's ruined, Allah Ta'ala says. The sinful person, after sinning, he's like he's gone, he's not there, because he has done dhulam on his own self. He has oppressed his own self, and his consequence is that he's not either here in a good way, and he won't be in a good way in the hereafter, because sin is a very bad thing indeed. The sin, look, if we look at a sin in the hereafter after dying, what will be the loss for the person? On which points will we be given punishment? From the time of the death into the grave. And grave is not a bad place. Grave is can become a nice garden for you. And carpets could be, and rugs could be laid out there for you, and nice cool breezes can come there for you. That's such a place where the grave is. And the angels say, they sleep just like the bride is sleeping, you sleep as well. And it's we who dig the grave, take out the soil and the dirt, and then we lower the deceased. But this is not the reality of the grave. The grave has a large capacity. And the windows of paradise come there, and the nice breeze of paradise comes into the grave. It's not a minor place. But what does it become if and when a person... Many people have shared their kashf with regard to the grave, because many people's kashf vision, what they've seen in dream, they can see the halat, the condition, the situation, the circumstances in the grave. And many events of the pious predecessors you've heard, you've read in the kitabs, in the books, that regards to people who went into the grave, and it's told that this is their situation, this is their bad situation they're in. They are occupied in adhaa, punishment. The Holy Prophet ﷺ himself was going past a graveyard, and he, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, told his companions that there's azab, punishment in these graves. For which reason? Those sins that we committed, dhulam, anfusahum. Just like Allah says in the Quran. But we didn't care about the verses of the Quran when they told us this. And what a very fearful message, if you think about it, for a human being, and a great warning. Save yourself from the sins. Leave the sins. You don't mind anything. Oh, I was just lying a little bit. It just came out of my mouth. Oh, my eyes just wandered a little bit. I couldn't help it. It wasn't me. Somebody did something wrong to me and I swore at him. It's very easy for us to do wrong. And we don't care about it, really, if you think about it. So, alhamdulillah, due to the barakah of Ramadan, Ramadan is telling us something so we can understand that we live the lives of animals. Allah Ta'ala says that even the smallest sin is not a small thing. You have done zulm on yourself, because when you do a so-called small sin and you go into the grave, then the condition of your grave will change. You should have attained the peace of paradise. But there, due to that one sin, there will be fire around you. There will be snakes around you, scorpions around you, and serpents around you. There will be tightness in the grave. And there will be extreme heat in the grave. Who will save us there? Tell me. Who will save us there? So, this is a big thing. The sin of the eye, of the mouth, of the feet, of thinking wrong, of the heart, sins of the heart. All of these are sins. So sin is such that Allah Ta'ala says you've done dhulam on yourself. You have destroyed yourself. And who will the hashr be bad for the day of resurrection? Who will be in a severe situation when they get up on the day of resurrection? Those who committed sins. Who will be wandering around in darkness? Their sins. Their sins will make them wander around in the darkness. Because sin becomes darkness. Sin, it develops darkness. يُخُرِجُمْ مِنَ الظُّلُمَاتِ إِلَى النُّورِ. Quran says, what darkness is there that Allah Ta'ala is referring to? We are sat here, mashallah, and the light here. We have the moon, the sun and the stars. And we're not in the darkness. But Allah says, you're in darkness. Inside you there is darkness. Allah Ta'ala says, يُخْرِجُمْ مِنَ الظُّلُمَاتِ. When an individual, human being, when he changes, goes to Allah, towards Allah, then Allah says, I extract you that darkness, intensity, the fire of Jahannam that's inside you, I take you out of that and I take you into the nur, the light of my marifah, my nearness. You didn't even know that what you were and where you were going. You were worse than animals as a human being. You didn't have no wisdom, understanding, brains, what life you are living. One sin of a human being, not one. We say, oh, it's a small one. No, that to burn the house. You know, sometimes when houses burn down, when they look afterwards, analysis, oh, there was a matchstick that was burning and a child threw it to the house and the whole house then burns down due to that one matchstick. Yes, one small piece of ember, ash, and it burns the house. But we say there's small sin. Allah says there's no such thing as a small sin. Every sin you will see, Allah will say the consequence, even if it was an atom's weight of a sin, and you will see the result of the loss that you incurred. We don't know about halal or haram or lying or honesty. Think for a few moments. This is these points we need to be worried about. I'm not giving a speech. Let's start to be concerned about these points. Yes? And don't even dream about being saved. Don't think, oh, it's okay. All right, okay, I've done these things, I'll be okay. But the verse of the Quran tells us that really, verily, it's something to think about, that don't consider any sin as a minor. Hukuk Allah or hukuk al-ibad. Rights of Allah or rights of society. What do? We say, okay, let's work hard on hukuk Allah. Worship. Let's work hard on this. Praying. Even though we have forgotten lots of those, and then there's a sin beyond that. Allah, there's a bigger sin than that. Allah says, okay, fair enough. That I will look at your deeds of some of them, okay, I'll sift through and I'll forgive some. But after ibad, the rights of society, Allah says, I cannot forgive those until that individual himself doesn't forgive you on the day of judgment. The one you did wrong against, how dishonor you will earn that if you backbite it against someone and he thinks you're good and he thinks you're pious. And on the day of judgment, then the cards will come out and he will come forward. Say, you used to do this against me, immodest man. I thought that you were good and pious. And you used to sit behind my back and talk about me. Is your gossip mongering? And how much we'll be sweating on that day. How shameful, how ashamed we will be. We're sad, we're gossiping against someone, lying about someone, slandering about somebody, backbiting at somebody, saying wrong about somebody. We're happy. I'm inflicting pain on this person. We sit here with ease and calm. And when I say this, he'll get pain. When I swear to him in his mouth, they'll say, oh yeah, you spoke in front of him. You dishonored him. You disrespected him. Is that a human being who does these things? No. This cannot be the case. This is not life, my friends. This is not the life. So, that even if, for example, Allah says, I let you off some things that you did against me, but haqooq al-ibad, Allah says, I cannot let you off. The rights of society that you broke. Allah says that if, so, for example, there is somebody underneath you, less powerful than you, less stronger than you. Then we grind them so much that the oil starts to come out. We don't even know if we're fulfilling the rights. That person's come under your responsibility, under your control. This is not the case. First and foremost, look, that before Hukuk Allah, look at the Hukuk of the society that have made this mistake against people. So this is the situation. وَالَّذِينَ إِذَا فَعَلُوا فَحِيشَةً, Allah says in the Quran. Allah says, you have ruined yourself, your grave you've ruined, you ruined the day of resurrection. You cannot cross the bridge of Sirat. Who are those people who will cross the bridge of Sirat like electricity, current, fast? Those who had no sins through their name. Who will be those people who with ease they will pass through all the phases of the tests of the hereafter? Those who do not have the burden of sins. Otherwise, you know, people won't be empty-handed. In the hadith, it stated the words that there will be big, big burdens on people. What burdens are these on you? They'll be asked that with the burden, they will have to travel on their journey. Thousands of years of journey. And on their heads, there will be a burden. What? These sins we committed in this world. These sins we committed in this world. Tell me. So what do we do now? How should we save ourselves? Committed sins. What shall I do? How do I get out of this? So Allah's rahmah, mercy, His grace, His blessings. A person's dirty. If a person becomes dirty and he starts to smell. And on his body there are insects and spiders. What should he do? What should he do? Start running around? Allah Ta'ala, He has prepared resources for us. From the heavens, from the earth, from the fountains, from the mountains, from the oceans, from the rivers, from the streams, Allah has given us water everywhere. Water. Water is everywhere flowing. In abundance. Allah says you'll have no issue, no problem. Take water, clean yourself, purify yourself. If you're dirty. Isn't this the case? How Allah has prepared all around the world water for us. On the body, Allah says, I don't want you to be dirty for 1 second. More than necessary. Is this not the case, Allah's favor upon us? Otherwise, tell me, your body, and in the world we're living, and there's wind, and there's heat, and there's temperature, then there's smell and stench. And if there's no water, then how do we wash ourselves? A man, from his own sweat, he would die. Smelling the smell of his own stench, of his own sweat. But great ni'mah, Allah's given to us. He opens the taps, he opens the shower, he stands, washes himself, gets fresh. And he comes out nice and clean. This is Allah's praise and glory. At that time we're not thinking. But Allah's name of water. And for this, how is Allah Ta'ala prepared? From the heaven skies Allah sends water. From the seas Allah Ta'ala gives us water. From the rivers Allah sends water. From the streams Allah gives us water. From the earth Allah Ta'ala split asunder and give water to these people. How much Allah has prepared the resource of water for us so we can be washed. So this is our hal right now. So we committed a sin. Allah Ta'ala says that you've oppressed yourself. You are ruined. End of story. What will you do now? What can a person do then? Tell me. Finished. Finished. Person commits zina. Finished. He commits the zina of the eyes. Finished. If he fights or quarrels with someone. Finished. He's destroyed. Ruined. Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, Subhanallah. Allah says in the Quran, instruction, that if you've done all of these wrongs, why the failu faishatan? Allah says you've done dhulam on yourself. Dhikrullah. Subhanallah. This is the Quran I'm reading in front of you. Allah says that water, if you're dirty, your body through the oceans, through the seas, through the rivers, I've given you water, streams, so that your body, if it's dirty, and your Rabb also knew, that due to save yourself from the sins, I've prepared for you. Wadhkurullah, Allah says. Do dhikr of Allah. Remember Allah. Wastaghfiru bin dhunubihim. Allah says two things here. Fastaghfiru bin dhunubihim. What does this mean? Allahu Akbar. Allah Ta'ala's dhikr, do it. And after dhikr, Allah Ta'ala says, what should you do? That. To your Rabb, turn to your Rabb Hakiki, turn to your Lord, pay your attention to Him. Today people know Matawbah means to turn to, in Arabic, to return to. Where should the sinful person return to? The next verse is very beautiful. Where should you return to after committing the sin? Allah Ta'ala says, that who is there apart from Allah who can save you? Who is there? Subhanallah. These words, only He can say, in the heavens, our Rabb, and those who are on the earth, those who have brought you up. Only those. Yes? كَمَا رَبَّيَانِي صَغِيرًا, the mother and the father. That when they take you out of the house and the house is finished, you've got nothing left to his name. What does he do? Then he goes back to the door of mother and father. Because he knows who they are, they'll give me refuge, protection. Only they will see me. Then he runs back to mother and father. Yes, you've seen this, isn't it? This is when how disobedient, bad actions, wrong actions, wife and children. He leaves, he gets married, he goes and leaves. End of the day, he comes back. Who's come back? Oh, his son. Oh, my son, come back, come back, come back. What is it? What's the problem? Father's loving the child and mother's loving the child. Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran in the next verse, I can't remember the exact verse. It's not coming to my mind. But at that time Allah Ta'ala says, is there anyone else? Come, knock on my door, your Rabb will embrace you. Your Rabb will embrace you, your Lord. Turn back to me, Allah says. Say Subhanallah, Subhanallah. And further, Allah Ta'ala also says that don't be stupid, don't be foolish, Allah Ta'ala says at the end. That if you've committed a sin, if you've done wrong, don't be foolish, stupid, and that you stay now stubborn and arrogant on your sin. Don't do this, Allah Ta'ala says ever. No. Don't be stubborn. Allah says, do not be stubborn. What a big statement Allah is making here. Don't be foolish, because you knew the shaitan, he's khabis. He's wretched and he makes a man do sin and then he doesn't let him turn to tawbah. The cure Allah Ta'ala has given too. He doesn't let man come to the cure. فَاسْتَغْفَرُوا بِذُنُوبِهِمْ Allah says, dhulam. If you've committed dhulam and you are full of the sins and your qabr is ruined and your death will be severe and hard, angels are coming with chains for you. They're going to drag you and they're going to beat you. And in the grave already the fire's burning. That's how many sins a person has to his name. We don't know how severe is backbiting. We don't know how severe is lying. We don't know that to break somebody's heart is a severe sin. We don't know about these things. All we know is fighting at home with ease. The wife is fighting with the husband. Husband fighting with the wife. He's quarreling with this person. And they're arguing with that person. There are big punishments for these things. That a person destroys himself and destroys his grave. Big fire is generating. All due to amal, deeds. From amal, life is made. Jannah and Jahannam. Subhanallah. This is a great saying. That this is common from morning until the evening. What have we done? Have we made paradise? Allah says, Subhanallah. When you say Subhanallah, a tree is planted for you in paradise. From that tongue, when a person says Subhanallah and a tree can be planted, then by backbiting, also in your grave, fire can be burning. Also, at the same time, a severe fire. Yes, due to the sin. Allah Ta'ala says that if you commit a sin, if you do wrong, don't be stubborn, don't stand firm on the sins, then two actions you definitely then need to do, Allah Ta'ala says. Two actions you definitely need to immediately after sinning, turn back to Allah. Immediately run to Allah, Allah save me. I've committed a wrong, I've committed a sin. But what we do? That we become stubborn. Oh, I've not committed any sin. I've not done any wrong. He was like that person. And if I didn't do this, then how could I continue? I had to do this, we say. No, you think this is a sin, we say? And they're stubborn. They're arrogant. Standing firm. Allah says, Allah warns, do not stand firm on your sins, that you'll become ruined. Immediately do two actions. Which actions? Wadhkurullah, astaghfirullah. Wadhkurullah, astaghfirullah. Where is that fire of that grave? Where's the fire of hell? Where's the bridge of Sirat? And just you have to move your tongue, say Subhanallah. Subhanallah. All you have to do is move your tongue. That fire in the hereafter, the fire of this world cannot compare. It's so severe in the hereafter, nobody can put that fire out. Nobody can remove the punishments of the grave. Nobody will be able to hear you when you're shrieking out. Imil a'malu Fatima. The Holy Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he was telling his daughter that prepare for your grave, Fatima, do amal amal. Practice. Don't consider practice a small thing, the Holy Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is telling. And the message is to the Ummah, to his nation. And who was the means? That his flesh, Subhanallah, his heart has a Fatima, radiyallahu anha, so that our eyes could open. So don't consider the qabr is a minor place. Make your grave today, if you want to make your grave a place, a portion of paradise, very quickly it will come to us. doesn't take a second. He's gone. Where's he gone? Where's that dead person gone? To another house? Or is there a bungalow that he's prepared he can move to there after dying? Or is it a detached house? Okay, let's send him to Japan, he can rest there after death. Oh no, let's send him to Saudi Arabia, he'll live there. Where's he gone, the dead person? Such a place that is the worst for us in this world. The dirt has to be dug out. The soil is dug out to the bottom so that he doesn't run away and get out of it. Allahu Akbar. And then, how is he sent? Take his clothes off, take his watch off, take his imam off. Take his possessions, take everything out of this person. So that he has awareness, other people who see him, for which he was spoiling his grave. He's not even taking anything with him. Nothing's assisting him. Take his kameez off. No. I want a silk kameez. I want a shiny kameez. I want rings. I want to wear this. And wear trousers and shirt. I want to buy this. How many sins a person commits? How much haram he commits, unlawful actions for the grave? How much he lies? How much he signs in the wrong place? And he is increasing his bank balance for these things. I don't want these clothes, I want this. I don't want this watch, I want this. I don't want this kurta, I want this. Alhamdulillah, ni'mat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah ta'ala, if he's giving you from a lawful earning, halal is that where Allah ta'ala has defined his halal. Don't make halal out of your own pocket and definition. Yes? What is that? That Allah says they're stubborn, they're staunch, arrogant. No, where is it written? I don't have to do this. No, everyone else is doing this. I can do this. Everyone's eating this. I can eat this. Allah Ta'ala said in advance, do not be stubborn. Do not be stubborn, foolish person. Very quickly you will come back to me. Say Subhanallah. Good talking today or not? Tell me. Good discussion or not? Is the Quran correct or not? Tell me. Yes. This is how this fakir reads the Quran. Allah says, do not be stubborn. And are people stubborn or not? Tell me. Are they not arrogant? They're stuck in their ways. Oh no, I'm forced to, everyone's eating, I have to eat like this, other people are signing all like this, I have to sign all this, I have to bring my children up. Those people who are explaining to him, advise them, he starts to swear him, he's mad, he's stupid, don't listen to him, and do this to him, and do that to him. They rebuke him, he's telling people the wrong deen, he's telling people this is the deen, he's strict with people, he's stern. That person who's advising, they start to scold him in the dunya. Don't go near to him, don't sit with him, he's wrong. Oh, whether if he's right or wrong, but at least the Quran's not wrong, is it? Allah says in the Quran, do not be stubborn. That accept the sin as the sin. As long as you don't accept the sin, then how will you detach yourself from the sin? And if you don't accept the sin, then you cannot get near to Allah. Yes, if I say I'm not sick, I'm not ill, and he's got cancer. The person's got cancer, the patient saying he's not sick. Will he go to the hospital? Will he go to the doctor? Because he doesn't accept. He's staunch. Everyone else is saying, you're ill. Oh man, your face has gone yellow. You stopped drinking and eating. You have no appetite. You're not getting up from the bed. He says, no, I'm fine. There's nothing wrong with me. He says, nothing wrong. I'm not going to the hospital. What will be his hal then? Conclusion. Allah saying the same. Don't be stubborn. Don't be arrogant. You are sick. After sinning, you are destroyed. You are ruined. Your life's gone. Your akhira is destroyed. Your hereafter is destroyed. But 99% of those who recite the kalima today are stubborn and arrogant and staunch on their ways. So that place where they gain benefit and they see haram, they don't leave it, the haram. The mu'min's life, what is the life of a believer? What's the life of a believer? That every moment, every second Allah Ta'ala has ordered, لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولُ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنًا. That before you do any action, turn and refer to the Sharia and see that what did my Nabi say with regards to his, what was the action he gave? That when you are looking for a job, you're looking for employment, you go to work, first and foremost, what do you see? That Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Sharia say, is this employment halal or haram? Is it lawful or unlawful? If it's haram, then don't stop there for a second. Leave that job. And here, Mulana Taqi Sahib, I will share with you he said from a mufti, a person came to me. And he came and said to me that he was a landlord, well educated, highly educated, and very highly educated, and he had studied a lot due to his education. He was on a high post, he had a high rank, a good job. According to his studies, Mufti Sahib is sharing this, he said he came to me And he said to me that I've got such a company, I'm working there. He gave the detail. Is my rizq halal or haram? Mufti Saab said that your rizq is haram. Your earnings are haram. That's it. Now here, this is the case that our pious elders, let me share with you what our pious elders and Mufti Saab is advising him. And he was listening to that man. He said, it's haram. But I'll give you another path, a way. He said, I'm telling him himself, I showed him another way, that the case is this, that because it's hard to leave the job, the employment for a person, his wife, children, you have expenses. So that pious elders have given a way out, that as long as you can't find and secure the other employment, and you're looking for the job, then look for the job. Look for the job like you are unemployed. That's the condition. Yes, so look for another job. For example, you're working in a bank, you're working in a place where rizq is haram, your earnings are haram. It's stated, then at the same time in parallel, keep working, because if you leave that job, then obviously, then you'll have maybe a greater problem that maybe it'll be that you're stressed out and you do more wrong things after that. So whilst you're working there, there's an order the pious elders have given, that whilst you're still working there in parallel, immediately start searching for alternative employment, but look for the alternative employment as if you are unemployed, like you're desperate. You understand the masala? An unemployed person who has no job, how does he look for a job? Desperately, with keenness, and he goes out to look for a job. He says, this job, 10 hours you have to work. He says, okay, fine, give it to me, unemployed. Better than being employed. Immediately he accepts that employment. Immediately, say subhanallah. That's how you have to see them. Not 1 minute does he say, he doesn't have a choice. Oh, because I'm unemployed, for example, I have to eat and drink and earn for the children. He says, okay, fine, I have no problem. Even if I get £10, I'll work here, no problem. He starts the unemployment. The £50, he will leave that and he'll work that time. That's called the unemployed person. So it's stated by the great job, if you got a big, high ranking job, but if it's haram, then look for an alternative employment, just like the unemployed man looks for a job. Then in comparison to that, don't look for something similar, the equation of that. Soon as you get something that gives you the money to live at least simple, then leave that job for the smaller job. Do you understand what I'm saying? Yes. This is where a person does zulm on himself. So then, he said, that I said to him, do this after doing this, that until you don't find a job, keep working there until you don't find the job. He said, I didn't come to get mashwara from you. I didn't come to get your advice. I came to get fatwa from you. Allah. He said, I didn't come to get your advice. I came to get fatwa. Tell me the fatwa. Is it haram or halal? He said, it is haram. He said, end of story. Subhanallah. Subhanallah. He said, I kept on looking at his mouth. And everyone's saying, subhanallah, that there are good people like this as well. They're not stubborn and staunch in the ways. He said, that's it, that's true. You said it's haram. This job is finished in the morning. I'm not going to go there. Allahu Akbar. My Rabb will give to me whatever he has to give to me. I'll look for the job after that. Is there any man who's got courage and determination like this? The qabr, the tightness of the grave, we are accepting. We are accepting the fire of Jahannam that Allah Ta'ala is defining. You are ruined and destroyed. Zaru anfusahum, you've done dhulm on yourself, you've destroyed your life in the hereafter, you don't know that big adabs and punishments are waiting for you. Little bit of eating haram in the world due to haram words, due to leaving Allah's ahkams. And there the call is coming for salah, come and pray in salah, jama'ah, congregation, we're not going. And we said, we haven't even committed any sin. Say subhanallah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, come. What else is a sin then if this is not a sin? That we know 4 PM Adhan is being called and Adhan is being prayed. They'll pray at home. It doesn't make any difference, I say. And it's not a sin on top of that. We're stubborn on top of that. Subhanallah. We're stubborn on top of that. Arrogant. Qu anfusakum. Allah says in the house you've got a daughter, son, child, wife. Qu anfusakum. Allah says now you are their protector. You are responsible for your wife and children, Allah says. Spiritually and physically. Now it's your responsibility. Allah says, I've assigned you a wife and children, offspring, daughter. Qu anfusakum, Allah says. Now it's your job to save them. You've got a duty. What? To save your family from hellfire. The Quran say this or not? Tell me, is this not a verse of the Quran? But we're sat at home, we're not praying salah, they're not praying salah. The university, college, we're worried about their marriage and their education and their studies. And you're not worried about yourself. So are you going to worry about the family? We don't care. They're not sinning. Is this a sin? This is not a sin. They're not sinning, we say. Yes, the hukum, Allah's Nabi said, put the house on fire. Expel that child out of the house. Why? Don't look at the face. Because if they're not praying salah, the order is Forget that. Some scholars have said they have to take the death penalty. Some scholars say they imprison them until the rest of their life, until they do not do tawbah from not praying. And what is the hal of our house? Oh, it's not a sin. They're not praying. No problem. It's okay. We don't know what Allah Ta'ala is doing to us. We've got problems at home. Why is Allah giving us problems? Say the bad people, say Subhanallah, Allahu Akbar. The qawm, nation after nation destroyed. Nation after nation destroyed. Everybody destroyed. Namazi destroyed. Haji destroyed. Ghazi destroyed. Everyone's run off this. Tafsir, Mufassirin, everyone. They don't know any distinguishing between halal and haram. Nobody knows. Say Subhanallah. Allahu Akbar. They say, we are doing this. There's no difference in where I drag and pull the money from because I'm doing good actions. Allah. So we're equating good with the bad. You're doing good with haram? Tell me. Allah says, earn. Allah likes that you earn with your hands. That halal earnings, even if £2, if you bring it, mashallah, and even if you give a little bit of bread to your children, then you have saved yourself from the punishment of the grave. But how do we save ourselves today? Yes, we have the desire, we have the want, we want to be saved from punishment of the grave, we want to be walis of Allah, we want to be pious. Then brothers, then read these verses that I'm sharing with you today, that I don't even read that much Quran, the amount that you read. Say Subhanallah. So now people, don't look at me, don't say you are saying this, they're saying you're saying, you say these things, you say wrong things, people say, you've made deen too strict, deen is not too hard. Have I made deen hard? Then tell me, na'uzubillah, is the Quran wrong then? Is the Quran wrong then? Walam yisru, Allah says, do not be stubborn. If you're stubborn, you will not be able to be saved. Then do two actions, Allah Ta'ala says. Wastaghfirullah. Such an action Allah has given to us. Water is such a resource that thousands of years of dirt, if it's on your body, and the insects and the spiders and smell and stench, Subhanallah. One shower you take, all your whole body is clean, refreshed. Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, if you have got the mountain of sins inside you, and you are burnt out inside with the sins, and your grave is full of the fire, and angels are waiting for you, let this man come, we're going to beat him so bad. That's how they're waiting for us. For the sinful person, the angels are waiting, just like the lion who's hungry is waiting for his prey. Remember this. That's how dangerous and ugly are those angels Allah Ta'ala has set free in Jahannam. They have no pity for anybody. Allah's created them like this. They're ugly and severe. So should we commit the sins, my friends? Will we refrain from the sins? Tell me. There's a way Allah Ta'ala has told us to save ourselves from the sins. Not that He hasn't given us a solution, but we don't even want to do that. We don't even want to do that. Subhanallah. So there, Allah says, come to me, come to my court, turn back to me. Allah says, knock on my door, I'm waiting for you. Allah says, all you have to do is come to me. Say, Allah, I've come to you. Allah, forgive me. You won't even finish saying it. Allah says, I will have forgiven you already. I don't look how many sins you've done, how did you do them, what sins you did, why did you do them, why didn't you, etc. Allah says that I will then disperse the sins. That when this happens, Allah says, then I split the sins into two parts. One of my sins, and one of the sins you did against society. The sins against society are put to the side, and all the sins you did against me, Allah says, I forgive straight away. And then even then, due to tawbah, the hukuk al-ibad are not forgiven. Remember this, doesn't matter how big those sins are. Laylatul Qadr is coming as well. The nights of power, the previous nights of power passed. And they're dimming the lights, Mulana Shahab does dua half an hour and says, everyone's forgiven. Subhanallah, Subhanallah. Eh? And this is our aqidah and our belief. Don't make this aqidah, this is false. Read the Quran. What did Mulana Shahab, how will he make your sins forgiven due to a dua 30 minutes? Only that person will be forgiven. Go to the ghusl khana, my sins are forgiven. No, until you don't sit down under the tub. And you don't put the water over yourself, you cannot purify yourself when you're dirty. So brothers, Laylatul Qadr, these things don't help. Dimming the lights, do dua, wasting your time, fazool, waste of time. One thing will come in use, turn back to me, Allah says, and knock on my door. Am I right or am I wrong? Tell me. 2 minutes doesn't take hours and hours. A loudspeaker, this and that, and crying, distributing sweets, and lights are dimming, khatmul Quran, dua, everyone's forgiven. Hadith says that when Quran's khatam, everyone's forgiven, and whoever says Ameen, he's forgiven. Isn't this what's said? Only that person forgiven says, Allah, I've come to your door, Allah, forgive me. Knocks on the door, Allah, wastaghfirullah bidhunubihim. Say, Subhanallah. We have no intention, no desire. We have no niyyah for salah. Will the salah be accepted? Tell me. No. So this is a fatwa, isn't it? No niyyah for salah. You do all the action of salah and you finish and you say, I don't want to pray. Will your salah be accepted? No. So people are saying, he's praying. That's our hal. We dim the lights, crying, screaming, shrieking. Everyone's saying, forgiven. People are saying, forgiven. Allah says, you're not forgiven. Angels are waiting with the sticks. Come out quickly. The angels are waiting. This game and fraud, Allah says, that you're playing, this is a drama. 2 minutes on Laylatul Qadr, it takes 2 minutes to commemorate Laylatul Qadr, to achieve it. Say subhanAllah. 2 minutes is too long, rather 2 seconds. Yes, just lower your neck and your head. Lower your head, Allah says. Have remorse and regret. What's that? Regret, remorse. 2 seconds. Have the promise to reject the sins and promise never to do it again. Allah says, your Rabb has given you the 7-8 doors of paradise open. Immediately Allah announces, radiyallahu anhu, I'm pleased with this man. He's rejected the sin. He is happy. I'm happy in angels. You become happy with him. And make his grave paradise and make his death easy. And give him palaces and mansions in the hereafter. Subhanallah. Decorate his palaces. Just like water immediately washes him, refreshes him with the after the dirt. Same way Tawbah refreshes and renews that person. This is tazkiyah. This is tazkiyah. We are sat in the khanqah. Subhanallah. And dars of the Naqshbandi fakir is given dars. Subhanallah. This is tazkiyah. Purification. Do we get tazkiyah like this anywhere else? And after this we'll do dhikrullah. What's left after that? Tell me. This is the Quran. So should we come to the khanqah or not? Tell me. Why do you run away? Why do you run after shaitan? No, let's go other places. Good speeches in other places. Be quiet, sit down, make your life in the khanqah. Spend your life in the khanqah. If you say, we don't have a khanqah in Poljan, mad people, wherever I sit down, that's a khanqah. Subhanallah. Sit behind me, that's it, that's the khanqah. It's your job, close your eyes, what's he doing? Look around, be behind me, that's it, you sat me. You're fine, sit there. That's it. Why? Subhanallah. That my Hazrat Sahib, due to his barakah, such murids, mashallah, your heart will always be alive. Just sit behind me in dhikr, then your heart is alive. Due to my sheikh, my heart's alive. You sit behind me, your heart's alive. That's a khanqah. Where there's a sheikh, where there's dhikr Allah, where there's murids, that's a khanqah. That's the definition. Just carry on. The people can put up boards and titles, this masjid, that masjid. No masjid. Wherever we sat down, that's the khanqah. That's it. Our control at that time. Our control. Say subhanallah. Subhanallah. Am I right or am I wrong? Am I right or am I wrong? We don't know where we're sat, whose masjid, where we're sat. We're sat in the khanqah. And what's happening there? Tazkiyah is happening. So Ramadan, what did it come to do? Tazkiyah, purification. And Ramadan, we are talking about this. Pick up the hadith. Pick up the hadith. So we are here. We are in Ramadan. We are remembering Ramadan, the hadith of one companion, radiallahu anhu, such a famous hadith, and it was stated, the Holy Prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, before Ramadan, he came, he gave a speech about the whole of Ramadan, he taught us about Ramadan, lengthy hadith, at the end was the summary, it was the essence, when you get the essence, you get right at the end, and the essence, it is the summary, the nachod, so right at the end of the hadith, what did the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam say? He said, look, people, the all after hearing everything about Ramadan, the teaching, the coaching, the guidance, but the maqsad, the purpose is the pleasure of Allah. The pleasure, the objective of all these things you'll do in Ramadan is the pleasure of Allah. Tazkiyah Ramadan. The all of what you'll do in Ramadan, what will be your niyyah? That you keep fast, you do ibadah, Laylatul Qadr, all the hakams, the laws, the instruction, the orders in the hadith. It's told, I won't read the whole hadith for you now. Then at the end of the hadith, the Holy Prophet, the essence is what? The Radha, the pleasure of Allah. But listen clearly, that Allah, if you want to please Allah, then do 2 actions in kathir, of high quantity in Ramadan, that you must do this in high quantity and make it a habit in your life. Say subhanallah. Subhanallah. Ramadan teaches you this so that you can do this for the rest of your life. Dhikrullah wa staghfirullah. Dhikrullah wa staghfirullah. Pick up the hadith and read it. Dhikrullah wa staghfirullah. 2 teachings, the conclusion of Ramadan. This is the khaslatani. The khasla, the 2 qualities of Ramadan. Dhikrullah, astaghfirullah. Without which your Ramadan is incomplete. Allah will be happy only with high quantity of these 2 actions. Are we doing this or not? Tell me. Say subhanallah. Subhanallah. Look at this. So can we find this anywhere? Someone else is doing this. How sad to see when we do dhikr, people are reading Quran at the back and they're looking back and watching us. Oh, servants of Allah, you're doing we are doing that action that Rasulullah has prescribed to us. Why are you making noise at the back? We know, so we know how to read Quran as well. We know we have love with the Quran as well. Quran is our heart and life. Quran is our life. We can also consider reading Quran, but no, hukum at this time, do my dhikr, Allah says. Is dhikrullah time at that time? What were you telling us? Why are you reading Quran loudly and trying to prove a point to us that you are doing right and we're doing wrong? And we're wasting our time? And that you're disturbing us? Have you seen people in the masjid? This happens, isn't it? This not happened here, alhamdulillah. MashaAllah. And downstairs people are doing that because they don't like this, that what's happening upstairs. So do we not know how to read Quran? They're hafiz of Quran sat here. They are going to lead Tarawih. Don't they know how to read Quran? Ulama Akram, respected scholars are sitting here who are going to give speeches. They're sitting in this gathering, tell me. Don't they know when to read Quran, how to read Quran, what's the greatness of the Quran, how much afzaliyat, how much fazilat and blessings, how much time we should commit? Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah, we also have qadr for the Quran. We appreciate the Quran. It's not the case that we don't. That my murid of mine is there that doesn't read the Quran all year long. There's no student of mine, no woman or man from my students is there who completes the sheets that he doesn't read the Quran. Show me one tick in the day that is there. Children, lazim, whoever's my murid, definitely every day he will read the Quran from my students. Is this not the case, my friends? If this is the case, then raise your hands and share that with me. Is this not the case? Then what? Then you are trying to prove a point to us that we should read Quran during majlis time. We read the Quran and we practice on the Quran. That's why, mashallah, we do dhikr. Wadhkurullah wa astaghfirullah. So why are you trying to prove to us that we sit to do dhikr in a masjid? Then you should close all the kitabs and you should also join into that gathering. But who should tell these poor souls? No one tells them. They can't even tell them because they don't want to argue. Those people, they grab their necks. They expel them from the masjids. They think that this is a personal practice we're doing and what we're doing, dhikr, that we think that we're better than them and they don't want to sit with us. This is not the case. Everything, what's greater than all other actions? Look here, that when the khutbah finishes, what does the imam say at the end of the khutbah on Jummah? What does he say? The summary, afzal, ula, ula, akbar, dhikrullah, akbar. The dhikr of Allah is the greatest deed. Then he concludes his fatwa, his khutbah. Who sits down? Only the next bandi sits after that in dhikrullah. So I, subhanallah, subhanallah. And not every Naqshbandi, only Silsila Murtaziya, who's the murid of my sheikh, he will sit down to the dhikr at that time. The rest tell me, show me other Naqshbandis. Do they sit? No. Why? Because of hasad. Hazrat Sahib was fanaful zikr. He was a lover of dhikrullah. His habit was just like in the Quran. He followed exactly that guidance. My sheikh, 100%. He used to do dhikr just like he used to read Quran. He did dhikr in abundance. We say, people say to us, they don't read Quran. I said, there's no student of mine who does not read the Quran. Tell me, is there any student of mine who does not read the Quran? Is it lazim or not? Tell me. Is it not compulsory? Say subhanallah. No. So why do you try to prove a point to us while we're doing dhikr that they're reading Quran? So the hadith says, the Quran says, do dhikr and do istighfar in high quantity. Will you do it? Yes. So this is the fragrance of Ramadan. And the rest of your life, do this till the death doesn't come. Dhikr and istighfar continue until death for the rest of your life. Subhanallah. How much barakah there is in astaghfirullah. Look how much barakah, sahih hadith I'll share with you. Oh, it's too hard, I've got problems of earnings, house problems, family problems, health problems. Everybody's got a queue of problems. This is not the case. What does Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam say? That if you want, if you desire that your tightness in your life, the problems of your life turn into ease and comfort, tell me what a great statement, what a great statement. The tightness and the problems, this problem, problems of job, employment, rizq, earnings, fighting at home, quarrels at home, all of these are problems, aren't they? Issues, count them. So many countless issues in our lives. And then it's stated, second point, the greatest point, that if you have a sorrow and sadness, like our hearts are full of sadness, wife problem, children problem, grandchildren, in-laws problem, this person problem, sorrow, sadness, issues, illness, sickness, depression and stress and anxiety. Is this not the case in our lives? And problem with the job and the earnings and the mother and the father, problems and problems and problems. Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, if you want your anxieties and sorrows to change and turn into happiness and rejoicing, and so on. Another thing he said on top of that. Rizq, earnings for which you eat haram, you talk rubbish, and you lie and do bad actions just for earnings. Rasulullah said that if you want your earnings to become halal, an extreme high quantity of halal. That these three treasures, do you want them? Allah's Nabi said, say yes. Then it stated, do astaghfirullah, high quantity, abundance. Quran says this as well. That from the heavens and the earth, Allah will send down rizq for people. From the heavens comes the rizq, from the earth comes the rizq. This is Quran I'm reading. What is it? It's not magic. Our deen is not magic. Our religion is not magic. It's a reality. Whoever practices it, he gets everything. Those people who practice, they will never have problems in life. Never will they beg. Never will they spread their hands out and beg and ask. Never will he eat haram. Why? Because he has taken all of the Quran. He has taken all of the deen. And one point has been told to him. Then when such conditions come around, you do one action. Astaghfirullah. They understand the point. What's the reason? Why do problems come to life? Why does sorrow come to life? Why is there decrease in rizq? Why does a person run around begging to people? Why has he got poverty and hunger? Starvation, why? Why the reason for this? In this same hadith, if you haven't understood, I'll explain to you. That's why the cure has come. It comes for this reason, because you commit the sins. Due to sins, everything comes to the human being, inside the human being. Problems. That's why I stated that the opposition to the sins is astaghfirullah, astaghfar. You do astaghfar and your sins will eliminate. Your sins eliminate all the good things Allah will give to you. Who's giving this message? Ramadan, the final part, is giving you this message. Yes, because Ramadan, to make your Ramadan successful, that you've heard everything that Rasulullah said, most definitely Allah Ta'ala will not be happy with your state of affairs. Those things I've told you, Allah will be happy with you at that time. These are the words of the hadith. Read them. If you want to please Allah, then do dhikr kathir, higher quantity, and do astaghfar, high quantity. And both things you will acquire. So Allah, but Ramadan was there, and we asking from Allah in Ramadan. But there was enjoyment in Ramadan, Allah. There was dhikr, there was adhkar. But Ramadan's gone now. What do we do now? Allah says, don't worry. Don't be afraid. Just like I gave you Ramadan, the same way I'll give the walis of Allah after that. My friends, day and night, the wali Allah, his sobat, this is what you will acquire. Nothing else will you acquire. Morning, evening, subhanallah. Company of the shaykh. With dhikr, you get the company of the wali of Allah. Dhikr. So go there when Ramadan ends, then go to the next Ramadan. Go to the other Ramadan. Why do you fear? Go to the other Ramadan. The shaykh, the same environment, the same feelings, the same emotions, the same Quran, the same recitation, the same Quran, the same speech, the same bayan. Everything you will acquire. Subhanallah. Do you get this or not? Tell me. Do you get this or not? Tell me. Yes. So come and let's do dhikr now. Today's bayan finished. MashaAllah. So let's do dua. Allah Ta'ala gives us life again tomorrow. Then if some words come to my mind, I'll share with them your service. If I said something, Allah has given me the tawfiq to speak. But today's words, I really like today's discussion. Subhanallah. It was a very great point Allah Ta'ala taught us, that don't leave dhikr and don't leave astaghfar. Some people, they do dhikr, but they don't do astaghfar. Yes, because that thing I said to you at the end, that one hadith has come to my mind, I'll share that with you now. And that, what a great point and a great advice. Subhanallah. Abu Dawood, this hadith is narrated, beautiful hadith has come to my mind, narrated in Abu Dawood, the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, look, that individual who does abundance of astaghfar, kathir, high quantity of astaghfar, on the day of judgment, then he will be included with those people, who did not do the sins. What a great hadith. In other words, he will be raised with those people. About who? Those people that on their sins, they were not stubborn with their sins. They weren't arrogant. They didn't repeat their sins time and time again. So astaghfar will result with, subhanAllah, this is the achievement, miracle of this, that even though they commit that sin, that time and time again they repeat that sin, time and time again repeatedly, they commit that sin, but by istighfar, due to the barakah and the blessings of istighfar on the day of judgment, then the reckoning will come. Allah will say that no, they continue to do istighfar, don't include them with the sinful, send them to the paradise. Forgive their sins. Even though they tried to leave the sins, but they couldn't leave their sin. They tried hard. They committed the sin again. Death came. Suddenly, death came. Committed the sin. Well, I said the sins were committed. But look at this. That he continued to do istighfar. He sought refuge in Allah's protection. Allah, he did commit sin, but he was trying. He couldn't leave the sin. He kept on trying. He kept on going to that sin. But he had that feeling that alongside that, he kept on doing the istighfar. He kept on doing his tasbih. He said, Allah, save me. Allah, save me. What shall I do? Then he fell into the sin again. Allah says, that's fine. No problem. If he continued to do istighfar, send him into paradise. Subhanallah. That I have announced that such a man will never be included amongst the sinful people, that he committed the sins. Allahu Akbar. Good hadith, isn't it? Yeah? So, for this reason, that we don't know we're committing the sin today, I did, come Allah, do truth, but I won't commit sins again. Totally right. But even then, unconsciously, unknowingly, person commits the sins again. Unknowingly, unconsciously, something or other is committed. We're in the dunya, in this world. So for that we don't get a chance that we sit down and do dhikr again, astaghfar again. Some person should make habit that every day 1,000 times do astaghfirullah. Astaghfar. On walking around in your mouth, say astaghfar, astaghfar. If I remember or not, whether I know about my sin or not, before sleeping, I will do a tasbih of astaghfar. Always remember this, Naqshbandi. Those who are Naqshbandis, that's their actions, whatever they are, what are they doing? You get up, subhanallah. Then the day, you pass the day with Allah's remembrance. And when you go at the end of the day, what's the next action you do after you go to your bed? First and foremost, the action you do before you sleep is that whatever you did in the day, during the day that you know or you don't know, for that astaghfar they recite. They make their accounts balanced. Allah says, your accounts are now balanced, go to sleep. And even if you don't wake up, you are in Jannah, paradise. So before you sleep, definitely do istighfar. Astaghfirullah ta'ala rabbi min kulli dhanbin wa atubu ilayhi. And more easy than astaghfirullah ta'ala rabbi min kulli dhanbin wa atubu ilayhi. Recite this 3 times. You are successful. But shaitan attacks straight away at that time because you're about to do a great action. And he reminds you, fight with your wife, he'll give you anger and other things, do this and go to sleep. And he loses the opportunity. But remember, when you make a habit, then stop. No, I heard this hadith about this place and you heard it in Ramadan and I heard it in the Khankah, this hadith, subhanallah. And now remember this, I'm on the mattress, I won't go to the mattress until I don't recite istighfar 3 times. Subhanallah. Allah's promise that you are forgiven and your account sheet, your balance sheet is level. Will you do this action? Inshallah. Okay, recite the Durood Sharif.
Alhamdulillah. Ya Allah, humare gunahon ko maaf farma. Ya Allah, humare roze ko qubool farma. Ya Allah, humari sari ibadaton ko qubool farma. Ya Allah, humari galtiyon ko maaf farma. Ya Allah, humari galtiyon ko maaf farma. Ya Allah, humari galtiyon ko maaf farma. Ya Allah, humare maa baap ko bakhsh de. Ya Allah, humare maa baap ko bakhsh de. Ya Allah, tamam ummat ko bakhsh de. Ya Allah, tamam ummat ko bakhsh de. Wa sallallahu ta'ala ala khairi khalqihi Muhammadin wa alihi sahbihi ajma'in. Bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun wa salamun ala mursalin. Alhamdulillah.